And so what COVID, I think, does, and the way that it implicates potentially this substantive competence, is that clients really are asking new questions, right? We are in this new world where clients' needs, their legal obligations, what they need from us is constantly evolving, and we need to be responsive to that. And so just a few examples, right? We highlighted a few of them on this slide, but I've seen blogs about employers trying to understand from a health standpoint how to monitor and test employees to keep the workplace safe and keep their employees healthy. I've seen conversations about new theories of tort liability potentially for businesses. We know that commercial contracts have been disrupted, sometimes greatly, right? And provisions that I think, you know, in the past maybe were just boilerplate and we didn't give them much thought have now become, you know, sort of the center of attention and things that we are having to grapple with and interpret. And of course, there are new pieces of legislation, right, that lawyers are having to get up to speed on. And so the CARES Act is a good example of that. I know many of you have been advising on issues in the CARES Act, like the Paycheck Protection Program, for example. And so the good news is that under the competence rule, the rule itself and the associated comments make clear that a lawyer can be competent, even if that lawyer has to engage in additional study or investigation. I think the challenge might be, right, sort of managing the client's expectations about the time and the effort and the cost associated with us, you know, getting up to speed and navigating that new learning curve. But the good news is, right, that we're adaptable, right? And if anything, I think COVID has proven that to us, right? That we can adapt and that we're able to adapt. And so I think that is good news. The next slide talks about technological competence. So this idea of having some fluidity, right, or competence with the technology that we are using to work from home. So, you know, that is understandable, right? In addition to having new questions from clients and having to sort of up our game on the substantive competence front, we're all also having to navigate sort of technological competence. In 2019, Texas added the comment that you're seeing in the slides to Rule 1.01, and it says lawyers, quote, should, and I emphasize should, strive to become and remain proficient and competent in the practice of law, including the benefits and risks associated with relevant technology. So the should there is intentional, right? As I said, this language, it tracks the ABA model rule language from, I think, 2012. But it is, in fact, in the comments. And so what that means for us is that the language is discretionary and not mandatory. And so if a lawyer failed to follow this guidance, right, there could be no discipline. I think that distinction is kind of neither here nor there, right? I think given the frequency with which we are working from home, I think we would be hard-pressed to be competent and to effectively represent our clients without having, right, some amount of sophistication and familiarity with the technologies that we are using. And so this slide just lists a few examples, right, of things that I think have become just so ubiquitous. And some of this before COVID even. But video conferencing platforms, right, by the time I left private practice, we had video conferencing. Nobody used it, right? We still used everyone just stared at the speakerphone in the middle of the conference room table, even though we had the video capability. That now, obviously, we've had to adapt and change, and we're all using various video conferencing platforms. But you want to be, you know, proficient with using it and make it seamless and understand all the features. You need to be able to easily access your email and any documents you need remotely, be able to save and store those documents safely. You need to be able to successfully e-file with courts or with agencies. Maybe even in your jurisdiction, you are having to appear remotely, right? You need to be able to understand the technology involved in doing all of those things. So I think the bottom line is, you know, as Abhi said, these rules still apply, right? There is no COVID exception. So being substantively competent, being technologically competent, those things are still important, even in this post-COVID world where so much of our business is now being done outside of our normal offices. I'll hand it back to Abhi now to talk some about communication.
Thanks, Michelle. And yeah, no one used the video conferencing before because all we would see was someone else sitting at a conference table. But now it's so much more exciting because we've got your cat coming into view, somebody's kids or Zoom bombing them or whatever the term is. It's got a lot more exciting than it used to be to have video conferences. So yeah, rule 1.03, communication. A lawyer shall keep a client reasonably informed about the status of a matter and promptly comply with reasonable requests for information. B, a lawyer shall explain a matter to the extent reasonably necessary to permit the client to make informed decisions regarding representation. Seems easy enough. Keep your client informed, respond to their request. But we all know, and this is, again, pre-pandemic, it's a lot more difficult in practice when you are juggling a lot of matters to stay on top of things. Keep your clients informed, respond to them promptly, make sure they've got the right information. It does get tricky, and it's even trickier now in these times where we're working in a lot of different places. And so we've listed a few of the trickier things on this slide. Physical mail. Once upon a time, that was very easy. You went to the office every day. The mail came in every day. Now,